It's a giggle-worthy Prickly City!
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for July 30th, 2019. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
That's me!
That is you.
Hey, everybody, and thank you for listening, and thank you, Janine, for the introduction.
You're welcome.
This week, Prickly City kind of bounced around just a little bit, but the characters, Carmen and Winslow, went off to Iowa.
They've been in Iowa for a while.
No, they just got there last week, the week before.
No, they've been there 2 weeks.
Well,
they're there the week before that week.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I guess we should read the strip.
I guess so. Or remember it anyway.
They're still in Iowa. And so they're there for to look at and watch and observe the Democratic primary there. And now they're having a debate. In fact, as we record this tonight, the first of two night back-to-back nights of Democratic debates are going on. Which is weird, because usually I listen to that stuff, but...
Why are you not?
I'm doing this. Ah. I'd rather talk to my people.
And we don't have a television right now anyway, so...
Well, they don't need to know that. I can watch it. Actually, you can stream CNN or one of the others.
Okay.
Or Fox, or MSNBC, or Russia TV. Yeah, any of them.
I did not know that.
So anyway, the week goes on like that. We got some comments. I talked about... a manure lagoon. Did you know, I was talking to USA Today cartoonist Mike Thompson.
Yeah.
And he's the one who said, I was talking about the storyline. He said, you need to do something about the manure lagoons.
Are there manure lagoons?
There actually are
manure lagoons.
Yes, they are. And they are exactly what you think they are.
Lagoons of manure?
Oh, yeah.
Why do they call them lagoons?
Maybe
sounds prettier.
Yeah, it pretties them up. It's the only thing I can figure. It's gross. Huh. It's pig poop, and it's a whole bunch of it.
Huh? Why?
I don't know.
I'm going to have to Google that. I wish you had told me that before.
I googled it. I saw pictures, and that's all I needed to see.
I just thought that was you just being funny.
I thought Mike Thompson was telling us, because Mike Thompson, by the way, who is a lovely man, but Mike, we went to England recently, and he suggested that we had to go. I mean, I'm sorry, Amsterdam, different country. We went to Amsterdam. He suggested we go to this charming little Dutch town. What, do you remember what it was called?
Edam.
And we got off the bus. It was so bad that we had there's a group of other young girls that happened to be on the bus as well, and they were pretty close to vomiting.
But nobody else said that it smelled bad. I think we just happened to be there on a bad day. Because the guidebook didn't mention that. Lots of people mentioned, lots of Edam was listed as a place to go and nothing about the smell.
And if it wasn't for our eyes burning and the hair in our nose frying, we probably would have enjoyed it. But it was horrible. And this was Mike Thompson. By the way, enjoy his work at USA Today. Because he's the one who suggested that. And he's also, we've seen a trend here. He's the one who told me about the manure lagoons.
Huh.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
That's his thing.
That's yeah, we all have a thing, and that's Mike's, apparently.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Anyway, so yeah, I thought that was interesting. Laughing at Buttigieg's name. I'm sorry, it has the word butt in it.
But it's not pronounced butt, it's pronounced boot.
Sure, but it still has the word butt, which is giggle-worthy. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, Darson54 says, Oh, of course, Stantis is an asset for a comic strip creator. Can't help giggling every time at that one. You think that's funny, you should hear what it was before they actually changed it.
What changed what?
Your name.
No, let's not go there. That's still a secret. Right. We're not going to do that. Let's move on, shall we?
Okay.
So on the third day, we talked about Kamala beating up an old man, which I thought was kind of funny to say that. She did. She went after, and this is very telling of, more telling of Joe Biden than I think of Kamala, although she handled herself very well. I think she put herself in the top five. But Biden wasn't ready for it. He had to have been ready. He's the front runner. Of course he's going to be attacked.
He should have been prepared to answer.
I hate to say this because this sounds ageist, but hey, I just turned 60. I can do these things. But he looked old. He looked old. He looked rattled. He looked frazzled. He did not look presidential at all. And to think that someone like, who's still very fresh and new to the national stage. But Kamala cleaned his clock. What do you think someone, a bully like the president, would imagine what that debate would go like? So I think the debate tomorrow is massively important for Vice President Biden, and he better show that he's, you know, he took his nap or something and stayed awake for this one.
Needs to be prepared to answer.
Yeah.
So Yankee 2 said Kamala was deliberate, tough, and incisive. She would never have been characterized as mean if she were a man.
That's not true. That's absolutely
not
true.
You don't think so? I think that's true.
That's totally untrue. But what do we just call Donald Trump? How do people describe Donald Trump?
Because he's mean.
Yes.
No, he's proven himself mean. Maybe it might have started off that he was just being assertive. Maybe one time when he was born or something, when he was a baby, but he's just mean.
Yeah, that's hogwash. No, okay. I mean, mean is mean. I mean, I thought she was, I agree with, who was that?
Yankee too. Like, you didn't think she was mean. In fact, Carmen's character said that
she
did what she was supposed to do in a debate.
Yes. So why are we arguing? We agree.
That she did what she was supposed to do and that she wasn't.
Yes, but I disagree that all
but
this stuff.
Some people called her mean.
I think it's hogwash when they say, well, if she wasn't a woman, they wouldn't call her mean. Of course they would have. It was a mean thing to do. It was hardball politics, and that hardball politics are, say it with me, kids, mean.
So anyway, Brain Pudding says, so Stantis, the never Trumper Republican, in quotes, now would like to see Harris win. So that means it is better to have free health insurance for illegal aliens, better to oppress free speech, religious conscience on the altar of liberal ideology, better to promote open borders, better to support massive tax hikes, anti-business regulation, and the dangerous climate change hoax policies, all because you support the liberal version of meanness over Trump's. Sad.
Oh my God, they just went right to Fox and got all the speaking points, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah, okay, I that's silly.
Well, here's the funny part is Cheapskate Zero says, so Stantis, the never Trumper, makes it clear once again, no matter how much he claims to hate Trump, anyone the Democrats put up will be worse.
I did something right because I'm getting it from both sides.
I know,
here.
I love that. They both read the same thing and came out with entirely different.
Yeah, I like to see a competitive race. I've mentioned on this podcast many times that I didn't vote for Trump the first time. I'm not going to vote for him the second time. I find him to be a repulsive human being, and I want a better person as my president. That being said, Scott, who do you vote for? I don't know. I have never... You know, as much as my bona fides have been questioned, I've never voted for a Democratic on the national ticket in my life. It feels weird not to do it, or it seems weird that I might do it. I don't think I will, but I'm just telling you right now. I mean, we're going to have to see what the Libertarian Party does, because that's been my fallback for a number of elections. Gary Johnson, of course, was enthusiastically endorsed in 2016. So we'll see who their nominee is in 2020. But, you know, as far as, you know, I love that both sides are, you've known you've done something right if both sides hate you.
I know. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So on Sunday, you had, you know, the little lottery dreams, and Winslow dreamed of flying, and Carmen was basically worshiping at the statue of Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
So William Robbins says, Reagan, the first celebrity president. Pretty clearly square one on the path that led us here. Groomed to play the part, but at best only marginally competent. At least he staffed the government. And there was lots of back and forth over whether Reagan was a good or bad president.
I think he was a very good president. I think that anyone who dismisses him as, like, not there, as vacuous, as, you know, hasn't read much of Reagan's work, hasn't read his letters, hasn't read to the depth that Reagan actually questioned and came to the conclusions he came to. You know, I mean, that's, history brings us to this point where you can say that, you know, the election of 1860 brought us to this point. You can say that the election of 1968 brought us to this point, which is probably closer to the mark. So, yes, I happen to respect Ronald Reagan very, very much. Was he one of our greatest presidents? I think it's pretty close. He's certainly in the top six for me.
Okay, so I'm going to end this on a quote. Robin Hood quoted a very good quote that you're going to like, and it is, it's my estimation that every man ever got a statue made of him was one kind of SOB or another. And you know who that's from, right?
No, who?
It's Malcolm Reynolds, Firefly.
Oh. Oh, our favorite show. Firefly was great and left us too soon. But, oh, that's a great, yeah, and it's true. I mean, here's the thing. Nobody's, these are human beings and they had human foibles. I mean, you know, FDR had a thing about his cousins for some weird thing. I don't know.
Well, but I think to run for president, you have to have some something.
Do you?
A little different about you, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think, frankly, the most, interestingly, the most, one of the most normal we've had recently has been, I think, Harry Truman. And, Barack Obama. I mean, he has a stable marriage. There's no sniffing of, you know, messing around or being weird or any of that stuff. They have raised two good kids. I mean, you know, it's Harry Truman, again, came from very normal, you know, background, working class kind of guy. And, but yeah, you're right. A lot of them are very, very strange people. And, you know, okay, but we keep electing them.
We do.
Is that it?
That's all there is. Yeah, I think
we're done. Okay, great. Well, there you go. Well, that was this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. I hope it turned out okay. I do.
Okay.
Because we're still in the process of moving, but we're getting the hang of how we record this away from WGN Studio, which is kind of not as easy as it looks.
No.
So God bless Brian Altimer, our wonderful producer who makes us sound better than we are. Thank you, WGN and WGN Plus, for hosting and posting our podcast. And if you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, you can do so by going to gocomics.com/prickly city. That's gocomics.com/prickly city. Sign up for things for free there. You can register. It's easy. It's actually a lot of fun. I get the email every morning, and I look forward to reading not just Prickly City, which is awesome, but also your favorite editorial cartoonists and other comic strips that you want to see. So gocomics.com/prickly city and leave a comment. Maybe we'll read it here on the podcast. If you want to contact us directly, you can do so by emailing us at pricklycity@gmail.com. That's pricklycity@gmail.com. I think that about covers it.
I think so.
Okay, great. Well, thank you especially for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. Until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.